Hello listeners, this is All India Radio Pune broadcasting on 378.78 meters or 792 kilohertz. Today we bring you an interview with Dr. Yogesh Bhendale and the topic is Ayurveda. Dr. Yogesh Bhendale is an Ayurvedic scholar and owing to his path-breaking research in Ayurvedic medicine, he is very well known internationally. He has successfully treated patients with several chronic and incurable ailments like cancer, chronic renal failure and many more. For this, he has designed new, safe and effective drug formulations. And this unique methodology has resulted in a set of cancer-fighting drugs that has cured many patients in India and overseas. A true practitioner of Ayurveda, in real sense of the term, Dr. Bhendale has proved the efficacy of Ayurvedic treatment in the world over. Let's listen from him in detail how Ayurveda is very potent medical therapy. Talking to him is Abhijit Mule, a freelancer.
Hello friends, this is Abhijit here and today we have Dr. Yogesh Bhendale with us to speak about Ayurveda. We'll try to know from him the beauty of Ayurveda, the scientific approach of Ayurveda, the evidence-based science that Ayurveda is, and the drug development of Ayurveda. Dr. Bhendale is an internationally acclaimed Ayurvedic physician who has patients almost all over the entire globe. Dr. Bhendale started his career from an Ayurvedic hospital in Germany. He has also preserved his interests in academics and the research and innovation of Ayurvedic drug developments. He has a fully developed Ayurvedic research pharmaceutical company, Rasayani Biologics, and has as many as 52 international patents to his credit. Sir, I would like you to tell us about how you started off with your career, how you initially gained this international exposure.
Thank you, Abhijit. Me and my wife has been invited to Germany to set up almost 175-bedded Ayurvedic hospital over there. I suppose this is the first hospital in Germany even today. And this has been started in 1996-97, and I'm proud to mention that even at that time and even today, this is one of the best hospitals which provides best Ayurvedic care to the European citizens. And I remember we have started that hospital by introducing the basics of Ayurveda, dietetics of Ayurveda, panchakarmas, and the means and ways of diagnosis and many more. After Germany, we have been contacted by various people from various countries, and we started Association for the Consciousness and Knowledge of Vedic Sciences in Paris in 1999. And me and my wife used to visit there at every 45th day of every alternate month. There we used to do lot of Ayurvedic courses, from 3 months to 1 year, 1.5 years, right from the basics or the primary teachings of Ayurveda. In the meantime, we have been introduced to some people who are working in Italy since 40 years. Mm-hmm. I was surprised and shocked to know that somebody is working in Italy for last 40 years at that time, and they are taking Ayurveda in a extremely serious manner. So we equally got attracted. And we started another institute called European Academy of Ayurveda. And there also we have introduced a couple of educational courses. And they have certain practices over there. We used to help them for diagnosis and the treatments. There also we came across certain illnesses which are new for people like us who are Indians. But I can proudly mention that for those diseases also, Ayurveda proved to be very beneficial.
So you mean that though Ayurveda is traditional Indian knowledge, it has the power to guide the whole world?
It's absolutely, Abhijit. Though this has been originated from India, I must say this is a global science. It is not meant only for Indians. I always object that Ayurveda has been referred as the most ancient medical science. Mm-hmm. But I would prefer to mention that Ayurveda is an eternal medical science. Mm-hmm. So in spite of more than 5,000 years of evolution, not a single fundamental principle of Ayurveda has been proved to be wrong. And that is why actually our journey in Europe even spread more. Mm-hmm. And then we stepped into Netherlands. Mm-hmm. We started another center in Netherlands, and now it has been moved to a big wellness center mm-hmm. in Netherlands. It's mm-hmm. one of the biggest center in Netherlands. There also we came across lots of patients. We mm-hmm. continued various educational courses over there. We keep on taking various seminars for doctors and super specialists in Netherlands mm-hmm. and also rest of the European countries, because it is very adjacent to the German border. In the meantime, we have been introduced to a couple of other patients who are British citizens mm-hmm. and our way or our journey has been taken to newer heights, I must say. We come across very high profile people in London, especially in central London, and even patients. We have been treating all these European patients. They are frequently visiting India for taking our treatments.
We are listening to Dr. Yogesh Bendale, who has successfully treated countless patients. Here is one.
My name is Smita Sayed, and I'm a cancer survivor. My doctor's name is Dr. Yogesh Bendale. I fell sick in the year 2008 with a lymphoma cancer. And after two chemo cycles, I went to my Ayurveda doctor. And I had a complete one-year treatment from him. And it was a wonderful experience to share with him. And I came up smiling with my entire treatment from him. And he's a wonderful doctor to have him around. And he's the person who really treated me. And I'm there because of him. Thank you so much.
We learned that you have treated several high-profile patients, including heads of companies, CEOs and all, and heads of states even. Please tell us about that.
I would be very happy to share this. A couple of royals and royal peers also we come across, and we found ourselves to be fortunate to treat them. I believe they have certain lifestyles, they have extraordinary responsibilities, which willingly or unwillingly they are forced to adopt the lifestyles which are not good for their health, which eventually led to certain illnesses, and some are unfortunately found to be very serious. To name a few illnesses we come across from all such high profile people are right from simply stress and the insecurity or sleep disturbances leading to diseases like migraines, ulcerative colitis, various types of cancers, retinal diseases, renal failure, cardiac issues, liver failures, and many more. All kinds of cancers. Of course, I can imagine the anxiety you would have by listening how come Ayurveda can treat a cancer. But yes, definitely I would be proud to say that Ayurveda is one of the most efficient science which can help people suffering from cancers.
So we learned that you have been awarded the status A for independent practice in UAE. What exactly transpired into you being awarded this status, which is considered to be very important, very precious?
It has all happened incidentally. Nothing was planned. I was traveling across Gulf, and one of very dear friend of mine invited me to see a very high profile patient in Dubai. She was suffering from diabetic retinopathy, already underwent a couple of laser treatments and unfortunately lost her vision. As a last hope, she said, "Can you try something from Ayurveda?" By that time, I was reasonably insecure because I was not supposed to treat in that country. So I explained them my limitations. After knowing everything, they realized these situations and they started the treatment also. By God's grace, she started feeling better and started regaining her vision. And she gained her vision completely. And we have prevented retinal bleeding in the later part also, which was happening due to diabetes. And eventually I get to know that the Ayurveda is not being practiced in that country or allowed. So I get to know from some contacts that nobody can practice Ayurveda. So when I contacted the health ministry over there, I get to know the situation of Ayurveda in that part of the world. I said, let me appear to their exam. I faced the exam. Even though it is called as the alternative exam, the question paper came from all the modern medicine. The government conferred me the status A of independent practice. And now any Indian can go appear for that exam and can start their Ayurvedic practice over there.
We are listening about miracles of Ayurveda. one of Dr. Bindale's patients, has to say this.
My name is Amol Jagtap. I am talking on behalf of Ananya Jagtap, my daughter. My daughter is suffering from isovaleric acidemia. After 5 days of birth, my daughter has respiration problems, so we have admitted her in NICU. After at the 6 days of his birth, he gone into coma due to rise of ammonia levels. At the meantime, we have checked blood sample and urine sample in the lab, and doctor has detected that she has isovaleric acidemia, in which acidosis are increased. I have visited Benda, sir. Doctor told me that she will require frequent hospitalization due to rise of ammonia. After taking Dr. Bendale's medicine, till date her ammonia is well in control and she does not require hospitalization for the same. When I have taken her to Dr. Bendale's Ayurved clinic, she is of 11 days only. At the time of birth, her weight was 2.5 kg. At 11 days, it is reduced to 1.5 kg. And after taking Dr. Bendale's treatment, she is recovering and her weight is also increased day by day. Now she is absolutely fine with that medicine. Firstly, doctor also advised me to diet foods. That means she has to take only leucine-free diets brought from USA, first in only. After that, she is on normal diet as per Bendale's instructions. No special diet is required for her and she is perfectly all right now. Dr. Bendale has treated my child.
Treating all these patients must have developed your vision, and that also has reflected into your research. So please tell us about how your vision of Ayurveda was formed or it was developed, and how you translated it into your activities, the research or the drug development, the treatment part of it.
After spending almost 18-20 years of frequent traveling to developed countries, I must say, and on one side the basic knowledge of Ayurveda, on the other side the sufferings from the developed part of the world, so one can very easily understand that there is a lot that the world need to have, from basics to the ultra care kind of things. And I believe lots of research what is being done in modern science, very meticulously done, especially when it comes to the drug development. The standard cycle of drug development average comes to 12 to 15 years and takes $1.2 to $1.5 billion. This is a very well known statistics of any new drug come to market. But the statistics says that within 3 to 5 months of such drugs, either they become resistant if it is antibiotic, or they have been taken away from the market because of lots of side effects, or they are extremely expensive so that the masses can't afford it. So considering this scenario, when I consider the countries like India or other developing countries, or even the underdeveloped part of the world, I firmly believe that Ayurveda has a lot to offer. So if someone has to offer that, it should be considered in a most scientific and rational manner, which can be acceptable by any patient or any regulatory authority in the world. We have taken this as a challenge, and we have started one lab. We have decided to work on critical illnesses, cancer, various organ failures, degenerative diseases, and so on. So we have our own cell molecular biology, physicochemical laboratory, more than 25 plus collaborations all over India and even internationally. I would be very happy to mention that currently we have brought one anti-cancer product which is in the current clinical development at phase 1. The other product is, we are taking it to phase 3, and I firmly believe that there are a lot more to come. And this has been done as per the international laws of drug development. For instance, if we are working in cancer, then we follow the NCI guidelines, National Cancer Institute, so that any research coming from India should be credible. That is our main aim. And our traveling to Europe has definitely developed our insight for these needs and the ways or the methods of these developments to be accepted in the developed world.
it should be credible. That is your point. But then we see that about Ayurveda, there are many misconceptions in the world. Like Ayurveda means the massage or the Panchakarma treatment. But Ayurveda is not confined to it, isn't it?
I would rather say that Ayurveda has been exported from India to various parts of the world, especially the Western world. And considering the regulatory constraints in those respective countries, people who are working over there adopted the way of taking Ayurveda the way they want. And even though it is mentioned that the Ayurveda is taken further, but only the most acceptable or least risky path everybody has chosen. It's not Ayurveda, it's just not even the drop
in
the ocean.
It's just a part of Ayurveda.
Yeah, it's a very, very tiny part of Ayurveda. Okay. There are 8 branches of Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. We call it as Kaya, Bala, Graha, Urdhvanga, Shalya, Daunshtra, Jara, Vrushan, right from the internal medicine to, you will be surprised to know, to surgery.
And pediatrics to geriatric.
Yes, from pediatric to geriatric, and everybody is well aware that Sushruta is the pioneer of surgery in the world. Mm-hmm. There are lots of mentions about Sushruta. He has performed the surgeries, a couple of ophthalmic surgeries, brain surgeries, plastic surgeries, and even today the principles of surgery remains the same. The tools are changed. The extreme developments in anesthesia has added a tremendous value to the surgical field. Of course, that one has to mention. While coming to the misconceptions, the basic fundamental about drug development in Ayurveda, it is based on reverse pharmacology approach. So, you know the end result already. And then you have to put it in a most acceptable manner or a scientific manner so that you can explain that what are the ingredients of the drug, how do they work. In scientific language, it is called as ADME profile, administration, distribution, mechanism of action, and the excretion of the drug.
Listeners, we are being made aware of enormous possibilities of Ayurveda treatment by Dr. Bendale. Let's listen to what one of his patients has to say.
I'm Soni. Srirang Soni from Pune. I was detected with prostate cancer, having multiple skeletal metastasis. Also, I was having interstitial pneumonia and lymph nodes on lungs. Myself and my wife, we both believed in Ayurveda. So we opted for Ayurvedic treatment at Rasayu Cancer Clinic from Dr. Bendale. I think this was a turning point for us. This was in the year 2008, August of it. Today, I can say that I lead most normal life. I can attend to my work as a consultant for a marine construction project. I undertake exercise, not too heavy, but normal exercise for 1 hour in the morning. I go for a walk whenever it's possible for almost 3 to 4 kilometers in the evening. And mind you, this is at the age of 68. If we follow all the do's and don'ts which the doctor so caringly explains to you, and with a positive attitude, Ayurveda works wonderfully. This is our experience. Sarve pi sukhinaha santu, sarve santu niramayaha. Thank you very much.
In several countries, the Ayurvedic drugs are banned. The process which you are explaining, does this supersede all those restrictions or constraints, or how do they counter it?
Yeah, Abhijit, this is a very, very nice question, and I would say rather this is one of the biggest issue nowadays. Some people are trying to create it about Ayurveda. I would prefer this, that's why I was trying to mention about the reverse pharmacology action, reverse pharmacology approach of drug development from Ayurveda. Millions of people are consuming thousands of Ayurvedic drugs since centuries. I do believe that Ayurvedic medicines, yes, contain mercury, lead, iron, copper, silver, gold, like minerals. And I would object to this word called Ayurvedic medicines are banned. No Ayurvedic medicine is banned. There is a different sense of mentioning that the Ayurvedic medicines are banned. No, Ayurvedic medicines are not banned at all, but the Ayurveda's pharmacopoeia is rather the biggest pharmacopoeia. The biggest pharmacopoeia of Ayurveda in the world, and there are processes has been mentioned how to treat these minerals. Herbs, there are lots of certain toxic herbs Ayurveda is using since centuries. But the methods of preparation or the manufacturing have been also explicitly mentioned. And if one doesn't follow these methods or means, the side effect has to happen. just by finding that certain medicines do contain mercury doesn't mean that that medicine should be banned or that medicine would be toxic. Yeah. It's not like that. To explain that in simple manner, I would give you an example of simple water. Mm-hmm. So we all are drinking water every now and then, mm-hmm. which contains the hydrogen and oxygen. But if one can ban water from drinking, mm-hmm. containing, saying that the air, it contains hydrogen, which is explosive in nature, or don't drink oxygen, it might help you in burning. So it's not the case. Mm-hmm. So one has to understand what is Ayurveda, what are these medicines doing, and are they toxic? Just by, you know, being one ingredient, one has to prove that whether it is toxic or not. And we have the evidences of people consumed all these medicines, mm-hmm. and they are not toxic at all. Okay. Subject to if they are manufactured in the best possible manner or the desired manner, whatever is explained in the text. Shortcuts have to be paid.
Still, there are large chunk of people who feel that Ayurveda is not scientific at all. It doesn't follow the basic principles of evidence-based science, what we identify as the modern science. So, how would you counter such critics of Ayurveda?
Yeah, we have taken a very well-informed call for globalizing Ayurveda in a most scientific manner. We have strategized it in two different sectors. One is in the lab, other is with the patients. Ultimately, the path would be called as bedside to lab approach, or in other language, it can be called as reverse pharmacological approach. So when someone is being treated by Ayurveda, we cross-check this patient by all modern methods. If a cancer patient comes to us, then we make sure that it is biopsy done diagnosis, and then we treat it with Ayurvedic medicines. We diagnose it from the Ayurvedic perspectives, because cancer is not the word which is mentioned in Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. So Ayurvedic diagnosis is very important. It plays a rather very, very important role in the prognosis of this disease. And the results are assessed with mm-hmm. the help of modern techniques, maybe mm-hmm. PET scan, high resolution CT scan, X-ray, mm-hmm. MRIs, the sonographies, or maybe mm-hmm. multiple biochemical factors, including mm-hmm. the tumor markers. And that is how we are creating the evidence that mm-hmm. yes, it is a science and it gives patients best results. And in laboratory also, we are trying to find out the mechanism of action. Not always we get to know the exact mechanism of action, but yes, certainly we do understand the mechanisms of actions of Ayurvedic stuffs. So this is not an individual effort is enough, mm-hmm. but it needs mm-hmm. a lot of national and international efforts also mm-hmm. to explore Ayurveda and to take it to the global platform.
What kind of efforts are needed?
This can be done through a translational research, I would mm-hmm. say, because Ayurveda has its own fundamentals, Ayurveda has its own principles, and it's not so easy. That's why I would rather emphasize on a fact which is happening since years together with Ayurveda going abroad, that anybody visiting India from various parts of the world, learning Ayurveda for 10-15 days, one month or so, and start doing Ayurvedic practice in the respective countries. Mm-hmm. If Ayurveda would be so easy to learn, mm-hmm. everybody would have practiced Ayurveda, mm-hmm. and that too successfully. It's not the case. Even the course which is designed by Indian government in India, the undergraduation takes 5.5 years, the postgraduation mm-hmm. plus 3, mm-hmm. plus PhD 3. So it's mm-hmm. a 10-11 years course. It's a very rigorous course of understanding and learning of Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And one has to leave Ayurveda and just mm-hmm. not to learn Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And then you can reach the soul of the patients, you can diagnose them in the best possible manner, treat mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and it's not always the combination of drug and disease. But Ayurveda believes in diet, their lifestyle changes, their sleep patterns, various environmental changes they are facing, mm-hmm. their age with respect to disease, and multiple things we consider and treat mm-hmm. them. And that's the beauty of India, that in India, any Ayurvedic physician can use any Ayurvedic medicine, unlike the other rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And that is why from various countries, people mm-hmm. Started coming to India for taking Ayurvedic treatments. The young generation is very dynamic in India. They are very fast in understanding and they want quick results, and they wanted to know always what is the science. This has been a challenge to Ayurvedic doctors because the terminologies are completely different. They start talking about, doctor has told me that I've got viral infection, but do you have viruses in Ayurveda? Have you considered viruses? How can you treat virus if you don't know the virus? These are very typical questions, and this is just the beginning of these questions. They come up with the very talented questions. Generally, we take this liberty in clinic to explain them that no viruses or the microbes causes diseases, but what ultimately is being affected is the body. So we have considered body in a different perspective. We consider immunity. So we improve your immunity, which then on its own will fight against the any microbes attacks, any environmental attacks, and that is how you can be prevented from multiple diseases. And they immediately get to know, or they immediately understand, this is not just a science of centuries, but it's a science of even today.
What are the range of diseases that Ayurveda can cure? And
this can be given in a very, very elaborate answer, but to make it precise, I can proudly mention that there are lots of limitations of modern science, which is known today. And I can definitely tell you that there is always something or the other to offer for such patients when they have lost hopes, when they do not have anything to offer by modern medicine, and some of them are really cured when there is no cure known, or sometimes we offer with the best quality of life. To name few, that very chronic infections, all kinds of chronic infection, right from the upper respiratory, lower respiratory tract infections, urine tract infections, chronic hepatitis, ulcerative colitis, diabetic complications like diabetic retinopathy, diabetic cardiomyopathy, diabetic cerebropathy, nephropathy, neuropathy. These are very challenging issues which can be very well treated by Ayurvedic medicines, and ulcerative colitis, and many more. The list is very, very elaborate. Ayurveda is such a vast medicine. And it's not just a medicine which is treating diseases, but it's a way of life. It's a science of life. It has got multifold aspects. Most important is the fundamental aspect, which needs to be considered, propagated properly nationwide. And the other most important is the pharmaceutical part. I think India as a nation should take an initiative to, I won't use the word standardize, but to optimize the pharmaceuticals, its method of manufacturing, its quality control, quality assurance all over the country, and establish the proof of concept, validate its efficacy, and then sky's the limit. Certainly, Ayurveda has a potential to cater almost 200 countries in the world. So if you have that kind of vision, you have to be very precise and perfect in your planning. I would emphasize that.
Thank you, doctor. You have given us a wonderful insight about the Ayurveda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abhijit, and thanks to all audience.
Miraculous Ayurveda. We were listening to an interview with Dr. Yogesh Bendale. Talking to him was Abhijit Mole. This broadcast came to you from the studios of All India Radio, Pune. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. The next announcement follows.